What's up, guys? It's your guy, Anthony Mitchell. And as always, we're here back at the End Zone Club with a fresh off the press episode. But I want to start this episode off with a slight rant. I got to yell at the Vision for a moment. This is a Doctor Strange spoiler without spoiling. But man, can you get your girl? Y'all that have seen Doctor Strange, is it Multiverse of Madness? Y'all know what I'm referencing. It seems like, man, that movie was off the, what do we call it now? Let's give them a hand clap of praise. Marvel does it again. Rips the back right out of DC Comics and puts together another stellar performance. Many of y'all that come in, week out, that interact with us, again, I always have to say thank you to all of our listeners, subscribers, our supporters, those who week in, week out, episode in, episode out, are here with us listening to the content that make sure I know that they're listening to the content that are coming by way of many different countries. It makes my heart very warm inside knowing that you guys are here with me. But with that said, guys, I have a few quick minutes to do some surgery on this topic. So let's go. But I was thinking about the movie American Gangster. American Gangster was a movie that was about this real life gangster. I think his name was Frank Lucas. And Denzel Washington brought this movie to light. And it's just so weird how when you have these pop cultural phenomenon movies that kind of transcend time and space to a point like The Godfather, or movies that give us an inside look on what we as men deem hard characters, for some odd reason, it is attractive. A lot of young men in the hood understood ethics of street code from movies like The Godfather and a lot of other Mario Puzo books. Well, American Gangster was the same thing. In this movie, I remember very vividly, Frank Lucas was well-to-do, but he was able to fly under the radar because he was a very unassuming character. So what that means is, even though he was making money, he didn't wear his money in a flashy way. And by doing that, for years, he flew under the radar of the police. But somehow one of the guys in his clique did not seem to understand the memo of why he was trying to tell them to kind of move in silence. And somebody bought a very flashy outfit that at a fight one night tipped the scales, and it got surveillance going on, which ultimately led to his demise. One of the takeaways I wanted to draw from that well of information of pop culture was, sometimes it's good to be an unassuming character. Time and time again, I'm in meetings with very important people. And here lately, this is the season where we ramp up meetings because a lot of the lifeblood of our support and our financial endeavors come from being able to sit down in front of people that have resources and that are able to sow into ministry for us. So with that said, it's very uncommon that you're going to call me and I'm not either headed into a meeting, setting a meeting up, or maybe there's possibly one on the way. I've learned through time, though, never to look at anyone and assume that you understand where they are financially based upon how they look, the way they dress, and most importantly, how flashy or unflashy they are. And now, I don't know if this is a rule of thumb, but you learn a lot about a group of people based upon how they treat people that aren't able to do back for themselves. I don't know if that makes sense, but what I'm saying is, let me unpack that for a moment, because we as humans sometimes value and rate people based upon what we think they can do for us. And sometimes that is tied into this social economic status that we look at people and we inadvertently lump them in certain boats based upon the kind of rings they have, the kind of watches they have, the jewelry they have, what they're driving, the name brand. But you find out over time that sometimes some of the most well-to-do people put little effort into buying rings, into buying watches, into buying flashy name brand stuff, and instead invested in appreciating assets. That's a word. If you don't know it, just go ahead and study it. But basically, it's just saying an appreciating asset is from the time you buy this, this asset begins to accrue more value, equity, those sorts of things. A lot of what we were taught in our society, a lot of what we were taught with my culture particularly, is to be flashy. So a lot of times you would be surprised how many people of high value, I think is the word we're going to throw out today in honor of Kevin Samuels, who I am neither going to speak negatively or positively about, but that's just kudos to him standing on whatever truth he stood on. But that was a word that he really coined in this society, is high value. You'd be surprised how many times I've been in meeting with people that were very flashy, and I was just under the assumption that, man, this is going to be a good investor. And I come to find out they didn't have anything. Everything they own, they wore it. With that said, on the flip side, I have been in meetings with people that have not looked any sort of part of any character that you would think would have anything. So I was very reluctant to ask them for anything or support. But sometimes these were the people that were reaching out to me and saying, hey, man, I'd like to know a little more about your program you're doing there for the kids there, sir. And it's kind of funny because just under the assumption because they were minimalist or they just didn't seem to have much, I was reluctant to even express my vision with anybody like that. And man, was I surprised when some of these people multiple times have written checks with commas in them. Blows my mind away, but it's a very important lesson because even in the Bible, it gives a passage in the book of James about not giving more attention to those who come in with flashy garments and those that look a certain way versus just treating everybody the same. Sometimes by taking this approach that I am going to treat all people with the same level of respect, whether or not they're able to do for me what I can do for them. In doing so, there are many blessings that you will not miss. That's why I am starting to push back on this idea in life that we should only surround ourselves with people that are millionaires. You'll be surprised how many different currencies of life that God can allow people to bring into your life to bless you that extends far beyond money. You ever needed a recommendation? You ever had an issue, something going on that you just couldn't crack, whether it was on the job, couldn't get a certain promotion or whatever? You would be surprised how the janitor, who nobody seems to talk to, may be the one that has the keys to every door in the building. Think about that. Sometimes owners of companies know janitors and janitors know people that you don't have access to. But how do you treat the janitor? Now, here is one of my pet peeves also. Not just treating janitors, who are sometimes people that we look at as sometimes having some of the nastier jobs, but sometimes even waiters and waitresses. This was when I was dating. This was one of my pet peeves. How does your date treat waiters and waitresses? Do they treat them with respect? Do they talk down to them? Every time you go out to eat, is the meal never right? Are they hard to please? Are they always sending things back and then not wanting to tip? Those are things I pay attention to because, again, everybody has some sort of value. But in order to unlock that currency of friendship where it's give and take, you yourself have to be able to extend the same level of respect to the janitor that you would the owner. You'd be surprised how I have friended or befriended flies on the wall sometimes, people that nobody ever noticed, but they were able to give me valuable information about some things that were coming up, some jobs, some opportunities, some promotions to go ahead and start getting ready for, just because they possessed that resource of information that I needed. You can't get that kind of information that's going to propel you and push you in life if you're not respecting people. Unlike Frank Lucas, a lot of my culture, a lot of my society has been taught the bling bling. Back in the 99 when Cash Money was taking over, bling was always a part of our culture, a part of the urban culture. But something happened when bling bling took over 99. Y'all remember every time I come around, they say, yeah, bling bling. Y'all remember Lil Wayne and Juvenile. Now, let's not take it there. But what I'm saying is once that catapulted into our culture, now everybody prejudges everybody based upon the amount of bling they have. But one reoccurring thing I'm going to keep pressing in you guys is understanding that everybody is somebody. And because of that very thought, I don't want you missing a blessing. A good man, for example, just because he looks like a nerd, just because he's not flashy, just because he tucks his jerseys in sometimes. I've seen all of that. We have these weird preferences about everything we want, and sometimes it's pushing us out of the range to where God can get to us what we have to get. I think about times, even in classes, that I've been paired with people that were so far beyond what I grew up with. Like, we didn't have anything in common. None of our foods, none of our experiences, nothing. But at the end of the day, able to sit down and crack that initial barrier of unfamiliarization, some of those people later on to become very good friends of mine. Some loyal friends, some people that anytime I need them, they're already there before I have to ask. That was something that was also always said about me going back to my high school years, is like, man, you get along with everybody. It's like, that's a developed trait, because where I come from, a lot of times people box themselves in with people that look like them, that people that think like them, that people that give them a sense of confirmational bias, if I could say it like that. But sometimes that very trait of needing to be comfortable is the very trait that will keep you from being able to move forward in life. Now, I don't want anybody to take this any kind of way, but of course, living in the South, I hadn't always lived here all my life like I do now. But when I first came in, there were a lot of foods that they ate that was not part of our Jamaican palate, and it wasn't part of our Yankee palate. We ate Jiffy cornbread. That's blasphemous in the South. We didn't drink sweet tea. We had juices. We ate a lot of chowders and soups. But then when we came down South, everything was deep fried. Just because this was different to me, and it was a slightly cultural barrier, it was not my job to make Southerners feel less than me because they fried everything. I mean, who's to say that I was right and they were wrong, or they were wrong and I was right? That's not how this goes. Life is giving and taking and being able to get things from other people. But sometimes these walls that we put up, whether they're our ego, whether they're our way of thinking, whether they're traditions and values that we hold dearly, just make sure that who you are is not blocking you from being able to tap into more resources in life. I'm excited. It's that time of year. We're about a month away from our football camp. And this has been a labor of love that has been both rewarding as well as cathartic. I don't have time today to go into some of the pitfalls that have accompanied us this year, some of the disappointments, but I will. One of my coworkers has been working with me very closely, and he's encouraged me to kind of do a vlog so you guys get a chance to see some of the behind the scenes. But because I don't have time, I think I'm going to pump the brakes on this topic here. But I want to make sure I leave this thought with you, and that you don't miss out. Don't allow your cultural values, the way you were taught, your traditions, your core values, your belief system, to keep you back from being able to move forward in life. Now, I'm honest when I say you can still keep a standard, but still be effective in life. You can still have a platform of living that is true to who you are, and it can be non-offensive to those around you. It can also be encouraging and empowering for those who come from where you come from to see where you're going, so that they too can walk in your footsteps. This has been another edition of the End Zone Club, and if you've gotten nothing else, I hope I push you from walking in potential to fulfilling your purpose.